This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
Okay, Bruchim Abayim. Welcome, everyone. It's good to see everybody. Today is not Election Tuesday, but Agra D'Pirka Monday. Okay, so here we go. Kicking off the week with Agra D'Pirka Monday, the Monday afternoon National Agra D'Pirka Shir. We have amazing material. Some of it you may be familiar with, and some of it I hope will be new for you. We have very exciting material today. And whenever I hear the Baal Kore say, Vayomer Hashem el Avram lech lecha, I'm always very excited to hear Avram Avinu back on the scene. You know, the world was created, and Chazal say for 2,000 years it was a world of darkness. And Avram Avinu ushered in 2,000 years of Torah. He brought light to the world. And whenever we hear about Avram Avinu coming to the scene, it should fill our hearts with great happiness and anticipation and hopefulness of we are the descendants of Avram Avinu. And just like Avram Avinu brought the light of Torah to the world, that is our legacy and our continued job in this world. I'm very excited to share that the new Sefer on Chinuch Habanim is out. You see it? V'zakeni Legadel. Here it is, V'zakeni Legadel. Yes, it's a very unique design and shape. It's about Chinuch Habanim. We have a section of different suggestions of how to be successful in Chinuch Habanim, the principal tenets that one should focus on, the various practices that one should observe, a section on segulos to be successful, and perhaps most importantly, a section on the 10 times during tefillah to daven for one's children, the 10 times a year to daven for one's children, and the seven occasions throughout life to daven for one's children. And then at the end of the Sefer, we have a special section that one should never give up on any child. And I think that will perfectly segue us into today's shir. If anybody would like to be mishtatef in upcoming Svarim in Lashon HaKodesh, we're working on the Ben Le'ashri Al HaTorah, which is almost done, and a number of other projects. In English, we're working on Tzipisa LeYoshua of the Chafetz Chaim, as well as the Sefer on Chinuch Habanim in English. And also, if anybody would want to be Mishtatef in a Yiddish translation of Rabbi Meir, that's also available. But as we mentioned, today we're going to talk about being hopeful and overcoming Yiyush. I would like to remind you of an exposition that we've learned in years past and connect it to another approach. And my friend Reb Shalom Blatt, in conversation with me, we were discussing various approaches of understanding the number of men that Avram Avinu brought with him in his war against the four kings. And Reb Shalom threw out the possibility whether these various approaches could be connected. And that really triggered the idea for today's shir. So away we go. Let me get up to Mar Mekoymos, and let's start with the Gemara that we've discussed many times, and this part I'm sure you're all familiar with, and I think we could add another dimension. The Gemara in Sukkah tells us on Daf Lamed Aleph, and you should know this one by now, there's an old woman who came before Rav Nachman, she said, Reish Galusa, V'kulu Rabbanan, D'Bei Reish Galusa, B'Sukkah Gezula Havayasi. The exilarch and all the rabbis of the house of the exilarch are sitting in a stolen sukkah. Tzavcha v'lei ashkachba. She cried out and nobody paid attention to her. V'lei ashkachba Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman did not give her the time of day. So this woman is screaming out, they stole my sukkah. The rabbi stole my sukkah. The exilarch stole my sukkah. And Rav Nachman ignored her. Amrole, she said, Itza dahavale la'avua tlasmeo tmani sari avdi tzavcha kamaychu v'lashkachisuba. The woman whose ancestor had 318 slaves cries out and you're not paying attention to her. Amrole hu Rav Nachman pi'isahi. She's a kvetch. Ve'en la'ela d'mei etzim bovad. Just give her the money for the wood. But this is a very bizarre comment that this woman made. She says, "You're ignoring me? I'm a woman whose forefather had 318 slaves." Clearly, what is this referring to? This is referring to Avraham Avinu. Avraham Avinu, when he heard that Lot was kidnapped by the four kings. The four kings had defeated the five kings. So the pasuk says, "Vayishma Avraham ki nishba achiv ayarek escha nichav." He armed his men, Yelidei Vesai, Shimayna Sarush Loish Meyayis, Vayir Doif Adon. So Avram heard and he armed himself with 318 men. So the woman's saying, "You're starting up with me. I'm a woman whose ancestor had 318 slaves," which is very bizarre. What does that mean, a woman whose ancestor had 318 slaves? Just say she comes from Avram Avinu. But furthermore, of what relevance is it that Avram Avinu had 318 slaves? Let me get these marmakamis back up over here. Now, you know, if she wants to say she's a descendant of Avram Avinu, say she's a descendant of Avram Avinu. Why is she identifying Avram Avinu as a man who had 318 slaves? As if this is like the distinguishing characteristic of Avraham Avinu, that he had 318 slaves. If she wants to identify Avraham, she could have said, the greatest Baal Chesed in history, the greatest Makarev Rechoikim in history. Why is she identifying him as a man who had 318 slaves? And furthermore, why is it relevant that Avraham had 318 slaves? Why does the Torah tell us that he had 318 slaves? Rashi says that he didn't have 318 slaves. Rabbi Seinu Amru, our sages say, Eliezer levadai haya, it was only Eliezer. V'hu minyan gematria shel Shammai, and the gematria of Eliezer is 318. So actually, Avram Avinu did not have 318 slaves. He had only one slave. His name was Eliezer. But since the gematria of Eliezer is 318, he's being referenced as the man who had 318 slaves. By the way, this is Gemara Nedarim. And I'm going to take the opportunity. You know, we just finished in Daf HaShavua, Masechta Ksubais. We were learning it for 2 years. Tonight, we begin Masechta Nedarim. We usually learn Nedarim Monday and Tuesday night at 9:15 p.m. Tonight, at 9:05 p.m., we're going to have a 10-minute introduction to Nedarim. So I want to invite you to join us. And just start Daf Beis Amud Aleph with us at 9:15. And then you could determine whether you want to continue or you want to not continue. But give it a shot. Anyway, this is Gemara Nedarim on Daf Lamed Beis, that it was only Eliezer, and that's the gematria of his name. Amazingly, the Rabbeinu Bechaye says that why wouldn't the Torah just say straight that Avraham Avinu brought Eliezer? And furthermore, Ein Mikro Yotze Midei Pshutai, it says he took 318 men. So the Rabbeinu Bechai says, in fact, he did take 318 men. But when you go out to war, you need to make an announcement. Anyone here do Kedushin and not consummate the deal? Anyone have a vineyard and not redeem it? Anyone afraid of battle? So Avraham Avinu started with 318 men. And by the time the selection was done, he was only left with one. His name was Eliezer. So it is true, he started actually with 318 men, but ultimately it ended up with only one person. So what exactly is this secret over here, that Avraham Avinu took 318 men? And if you've been listening to the shir for a number of years, you're going to say, come on, we know this already. Okay, that's good. But I'm just introducing you to where I want to get, because Ein Beis HaMedrash B'li Chedosh. Whenever you learn something, you always have new insight. And we're going to take this to the next level. We're going to call this 2.0, okay? And that is one of the great challenges in life. One of the great hurdles in life. This is something that is the most debilitating and devastating state of mind that really could prevent us from happiness, that really could prevent us from accomplishing, even in our careers, even in our relationships, and certainly in our spiritual pursuits. And that is when we feel down and we feel despondent, and sometimes we even feel more than that, we feel hopeless. Sometimes a person says, you know, I have this ailment and I have this problem and I have this health issue. Life, it's so depressing. I have so many problems. I'm never going to be happy. I'm never going to be healthy. I'm never going to get along with my family. I'm never going to be successful. I'm never going to be successful in making a living. I'm never going to be successful socially. I'm just down and out. You ever feel that way? Every human being sometimes feels down. And sometimes even more than that. Sometimes people feel yish. Sometimes people feel helpless and hopeless. I have so many problems in life, from financial to health to emotional to physical to spiritual. Am I ever going to get anywhere? And this is one of the most powerful techniques of the Yetzer Hara, to make us feel despondent. Because when we feel despondent, we are de-energized. And when we're de-energized, then we have even less energy than we had before. And it just bursts our bubble. And any ambition and any feelings of hopefulness and any feelings of happiness are just shattered. This is one of the most powerful weapons of the Yetzer Hara. And you think of a man like Avraham Avinu. I was just thinking about this morning. Just very simply, here he is. The whole world believes in many gods. And Avraham Avinu says, well, this is nonsense. What are you guys talking about? How is that possible? Avraham Avinu takes on the world and he articulates his conviction in one God. And the man doesn't have that much going for him. Does he have a warm, fuzzy relationship with his father? Not really. His father tried to throw him into a fire. His father tried to kill him. So I wouldn't say that he's feeling a lot of emotional support from his father. Is he having a life full of happiness and success? The man can't even father a kid. God says, leave your family. And he leaves his comfort zone. He goes to the land of Israel, and the second he gets there, there's utter disaster, there's famine. He has to go to Egypt, and his wife is kidnapped. Do you think he ever thought, well, I don't know if my approach in life is really working out too well. Here it is, I'm taking on the world and belief in one God, and things are not working out for me. People are disparaging me, that I'm an old mule, that I can't father a child. And people are saying, look, if you're right, why are you so unsuccessful? And I think most people, if they would have been in Avraham Avinu's shoes, they would put their head down, they would walk with a bad posture, and people would look at them and say, oh, you nebuchal, you know? And they would have seen on the face complete hopelessness. But this man is brimming with confidence. This man is brimming with aspiration. He's taking on the most powerful force in the world. He's taking on the four kings. The four kings just defeated the five kings. He's fearless. He says, throw me in the fire. I'm willing to travel to the ends of the world, wherever God sends me. Where did he get this energy from? And it's not like he has any support. When he took on the four kings, it's not like he was being supported by the United Nations. It's not like he's being supported by Qatar. He's not being supported by any regime in the world. It's Avraham HaIvri. Abraham was on one side and the entire world was on the other side. And he's taking on the world with what? One guy! 318, that's just Eliezer! Where did he get this energy from? How did he not fall into despondency? Says Reb Tzadok HaKohen, and I'm just reviewing this so we could take it to the next level. Reb Tzadok HaKohen writes in the Divrei Sofrim, Ein li Yehudi lehesya'esh mishum davar. A Jew can never give up hope. Whether physically. And now let's talk on a purely physical level. Sometimes a person feels, you know, I'm never going to feel good. I have this health issue. I have this emotional issue. I have this stress in my life. It will never, you know, I'm going to have to deal with it forever. No, never give up hope, even physically. Chazal say, even when the sword is on your neck, al yimna atzmei min arachamim. Even spiritually, if a person, let's say, does an avera, let's say a person falls into the abyss. You know, sometimes people fall into the trap online and they get involved in very bad things and they become addicted. So a person will say, you know, I'm done, I'm finished, I'm wicked, I'll never emerge. No, a person should never say they're stuck in a rut. A person should never say that they're fallen into darkness. A person should never say they're too tame for beyond repair. A Jew can never give up hope. There's no for a Jew, there's no such thing as yiyush. Says Reb Tzadik HaKohen, the whole bedrock and foundation of the Jewish people. Avraham Avinu was not infertile. It's not like Avraham Avinu, you know, went to Bonei Olam and they said, all right, we'll give you, we'll try this, we'll try that. No, they weren't willing to try. Because Avraham Avinu was too old. He was toichein ve'enoi poilet. He couldn't do it. Sarah Yemenu was not barren. She was an islandess, the Gemara says. She had no uterus. And yet we're here. And yet there are millions of Jews today. Habitu el Avraham Avichem ve'el Sarah tuchayl aleichem. We always have to focus on the origins of the Jewish people. Our origins are above and beyond possibility. There was no hope for us. It was impossible for us. And yet, we're here. How is that? How are we here? The answer is because the Jewish people transcend hopelessness. The definition of Judaism is that there is no concept of yish for a Jew. We should never feel despondent. We should never feel hopeless. Our entire existence is based on the impossible. Says Reb Tzadik HaKohen, Avraham Avinu, the Rosh HaUma, he taught us never to give up hope. He ran after Eliezer, he ran after Lot, and Lot was kidnapped by the four kings. Where did he get this spiritual energy? Where did he get the conviction? Where did he get the inner strength to go fight the four kings all by himself? The answer is he took 318. What's 318? Yiyush, friends, is 317. The word yiyush, hopelessness, helplessness, despondency, is 317. But Avraham Avinu rose above yiyush. Avraham Avinu took 318. Avraham Avinu says, there's nothing that's impossible. There's nothing that's beyond hope. There's nothing that can't be repaired. Yiyush is 317. Avraham Avinu took 318. The Shvilei Pinchas, or Pinchas Friedman, would say that by Hagar, she put Yishmael tachas achas hasichim, under siach, under 318. She fell into hopelessness, she fell into despair. But by Avraham Avinu, he took Eliezer, 318. Eliezer is one more than Yish. Now, how do you rise above Yish? Eliezer, ki Eloikei Avi Be'ezri, when you realize that the God of your father is at your side, that the Ribbono Shel Olam is with you, that the Ribbono Shel Olam could bail you out of any situation, and the Ribbono Shel Olam wants to bail you out, and the Ribbono Shel Olam can easily bail you out, and it's just a matter of being zoicha to it and seeing what the Yeshua is. Avraham Avinu took Eliezer. Eliezer is one more than Yish. And Reb Tzadik HaKohen brilliantly interprets the Gemara in Sukkah. This woman says to Rav Nachman, you think that I've given up on my sukkah and I'm just going to let the Reish Galusa and his cronies sit in my sukkah? You think I did yiyush and therefore they could continue to sit in the sukkah? Nah. Do you know who my ancestor is? My ancestor is Avraham Avinu. And Avraham Avinu took with him 318 men. Avraham Avinu never gave up hope. To Avraham Avinu, there was no such thing as hopelessness, helplessness, despondency. Well, I'm a chip off the block. The apple doesn't fall far from the tree. Just like Avraham never gave up hope, I never give up hope. It's my sukkah. I never gave up hope, and I want it back. Give it back to me. This is why this woman was invoking the fact that Avraham Avinu had 318 slaves. Furthermore, Reb Tzalek HaKohen writes in the Preet Tzadik that we are commanded every day to remember that Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim. Do you know why we're commanded every day to remember God took us out of Mitzrayim? Because it is so fundamental to Judaism to realize that we are never hopeless and we are never too far gone, not physically, not emotionally. Never give up on your children. Never give up on your health. Never give up on your happiness. Never give up on your relationships. That is the fundamental principle of Judaism. Nothing is beyond hope. Yeshuas Hashem keharaf ayin. This is something, an idea we spoke about many times. But now I would like to segue this into another dimension of the significance of the 318 men of Avraham Avinu. And I want to bring to your attention an amazing teaching of Masechta Soifrim. Masechta Soifrim, Perek Chaf Aleph, talks about Avraham Avinu, who was called by the Navi, Ha'adam Hagadol Ba'anakim, the great giant. You know, he was taller than a giant, Masechta Soifrim says. Avraham Avinu was 74 people tall. He ate commensurate with 74 people. He drank commensurate with 74 people. And if you think that's not possible, you haven't had teenagers in your house in a long time. But I could tell you, they could really pack it in. Maybe not 74 people's worth, but pretty close. By the amount of food and by the cost of the food, I could tell you, they could do it. So don't wonder how Avraham Avinu was 74 people tall and he ate Keneged 74 people. But obviously, what does this mean? Why are Chazal telling me about this great height of Avraham Avinu and the amount that he consumed? We have the number 74 at the end of Parshas Mishpatim. We say that Moshe, Aaron, Nadav, Avihu, and the 70 Zakenim went up to Har Sinai. And what did they do? They ate and they drank. So in the Hakdama of the Sefer Dvar HaMelech of Rabbi Avraham Broidy, he brings that the meaning that Avraham Avinu was 74 people tall and he ate Keneged 74 people is Avraham Avinu was like on the spiritual capacity of Moshe, Aaron, Nadav, Avihu, and the Shivim Zakenim. But still, I think there's still more that could be gleaned over here in terms of exploring the significance of the height of Avraham Avinu. Rabbi Avraham Avarish, the Basayan, Rav Avram Doiv Avarish, the Basayan, who was a student of the Kedushas Levi, Rav Levi Yitzchak Barditchev. He wrote a classic work on Chumash Basayan. He comments on the idea that we know that Avraham Avinu at the start of Parshas Lech Lecha is 75 years old. Now, friends, did I ask you at the beginning of the share how old you are? I'm going to go through now, before we continue, I'm going to ask everybody how old you are. No, I'm just joking. I'm not going to do that. You know why? Because none of my business. And also, it's irrelevant. Who cares? Why is that relevant to our Monday? I told you today is Agur the Pirka Monday. It's not relevant how old you are. It's not relevant how old I am. And why is it relevant to how old Avraham Avinu is? Okay? Just like it would be absurd for me to begin the shir by asking everyone how old you are, it should pique your curiosity of why the Torah says that Avraham Avinu was 75 years old. And the Basayan says that the Torah is teaching us a very important lesson here. Avraham Avinu was asked to do something very difficult. He was asked to leave the comfort of where he grew up, where he lived, where he thrived, and to an unknown destination. You think that's easy to do? If somebody would ask you right now, okay, move, I'll let you know later where you're going, it wouldn't be easy for anybody. How is he able to do that and do it happily and do it besimcha? The answer is because he had absolute faith in Hashem. He knew, he studied the world, he saw Hashem created the world for kindness, and everything Hashem does is to bestow kindness on mankind. So Avraham Avinu knew, there's a good reason for this. Kamanda Abir Rahman Alatav. So Avraham Avinu was able to leave. You know why? He was 75. 75 is Gematria Bitachain. 75 is Gematria Bitachain. Beis is 2. Tes is 9. That's 11. Plus Ches is 8. 19. Plus Vav, 25. Plus Nun, 50. 75. Aaron Avinu was 75 when he left Haran because he had absolute Bitachain. And you know what? Avraham continued to grow in his Midah of Bitachain. Because when he had to attack the four kings, he needed also to utilize tremendous bitachain. So you know what Avraham Avinu did? You know what the secret of 318 men are? Avraham is Gematria 243. Bitachain is Gematria 75. Avraham and bitachain is 318. Avram and Bitachain is 318. When the Torah says Avram took 318 men, it means he took him and his faith in God. That's the significance of 318. Avram Avinu, when Avram Avinu thought to himself, the Ribbono Shel Olam is with me, he had 318 men with him. Avram and Bitachain is 318. Then it's Eliezer, Elokei Avi Be'ezri. So, friends, putting together the Bas Ayin with Reb Tzadok HaKohen, it comes out, Oyoyim V'noira, of this gives us a little bit of an insight. How can a person overcome despondency? How can a person overcome Yiyush? How can a person overcome hopelessness? The answer is bitachain, having conviction that Hashem is your loving Father and He's bringing you to good places and to good outcomes, and Hashem is going to bestow chesed on you. If a person has Avram and bitachain, 318, that helps you overcome Yiyush, 318, one more than Yiyush. I would humbly suggest that these two approaches are not only to mahalchim in this topic, but they also fuse together to produce something really spectacular. And that is, how does a person equip themselves to overcome the human tendency to feel down, to feel despondent, to feel hopeless? Bitachain. Avram and Bitachain is 318, and therefore he was able to overcome Yiyush, which is 317. But let's investigate a little bit. Why Bitachain? Bitachain is 75. What is the significance of that? The Arizal reveals that in the Pasuk of Bitachain, Bitchu Bashem Adei Ad. It's interesting. In the Pasuk of Bitachain, we have the words Adei Ad, a double lashon of Ad. Ad is 74. And 74 is very significant. 74 is the name of Bitachain, the Shem HaBitachain. How so? We know Midas Hadin is Elohim. Aleph Lamed, Hey, then Yud, and then Mem. But we've done this many times. If you take the Oisiyos HaKodmos, you take the letters before Elohim, if you take the letters before Elohim, the Aleph remains an Aleph. There's no letter before an Aleph. The Lamed becomes a Chaf. The He becomes a Dalet. The Yud becomes a Tes. The final Mem becomes a regular Mem. So Aleph, Lamed, He, followed by Yud, and then final Mem becomes Aleph, Chaf, Dalet, Tes, regular Mem. 86 becomes 74. 86 becomes 74. Bitachain is the oisiyos koidmois of the Midas Hadin. Bitchu b'Hashem adeyad. You know how you could sweeten Midas Hadin? You know how you could be mamtik Midas Hadin? You know how you could have bitachain even in the face of Midas Hadin? The answer is when you realize that you know what precipitated the din, you know what advances the din, you know what came before the din, you know what the din is really based upon? It's based upon bitachain and the chesed of Hashem and rachamim. Aleph, chaf, dalet, Tes, and then Mem is Bitchu Bashem Adei Ad. 74 is the name of Bitachain. 74 is the shame of Bitachain. The Arizal writes in the Shar HaPsukim that the secret of what it means that Avraham Avinu was 75 when he left Haran, the secret of that is not just like the Bas Ayin says, Ayin Hey is Gematria Bitachain. Ayin Hey, 75, is also the Oisiois Koidmois of Elohim, Aleph Chaf Dalet Tes Mem Im HaKoilal. That indicates Avraham Avinu went with full Bitachain. Bitachain 75, and the Oisiois HaKoidmois Im HaKoilal 75. This is the meaning, says the Ben Bas Ayin, that Avraham was 75 when he left Haran. This is explained in the Sefer Emes Liakov of Rabbi Yaakov Shaltiel Ninyai. Somebody once asked me, I didn't see it in the Emes Liakov. That's because I'm not referring to the Emes Liakov of Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky, I'm referring to the Emes Liakov of Rabbi Yaakov Shaltiel Ninyai. Avraham Avinu was 75 when he left Haran. Avraham Avinu was 75 when he left Haran. What that means is that Avraham Avinu, through his absolute bitachon in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, was able to extricate himself, mecharan, from the Midas Hadin, from the forces of strict judgment. Avraham Avinu was able to be mamtik the din when he was 75 through his absolute Midas HaBitachon. If I could share with you from the Holy Sefer Ben La'ashri, I mentioned you were working now on the Ben La'ashri is a three-volume, somewhat Kabbalistic work written by someone known as the Tzaddik of Ranana, who was never blessed with children, and he gives a promise that anyone who says over his Devei Torah, he will pray for you and bail you out of any problem. Actually, maybe you heard of the story in Eretz Yisrael of Rabbi Tzvi Koshalevsky, who was blessed with a child at 88 years old. He had his first child. And the Rebbetzin, Shatichya, they had a miraculous baby, and Reb Tzvi and his Rebbetzin go around speaking about the conviction they had and the bitachon they had in Ribbono Shel that the Ribbono Shel is going to send them a Yeshua, which is really remarkable. I mean, this is like one of the oldest recorded stories of someone having a child in modern history. And I'll tell you a little secret. The Rosh Hashiva Reb Tzvi Koshalevsky would learn from the Sefer Ben La'ashri, I believe daily, and he said that if the tzaddik promised a Yeshua for those who say over his Torah, he would say over a Dvar Torah from the Sefer in front of three people daily. He held in front of three people, it has the status of saying it over. So I sent a message to the Rosh Hashiva if he would kindly write me a letter endorsing my Sefer Ben La'ashri and speaking about how his own personal miracle, and he of course attributes his miracle to his bitachon in Hashem, but he also mentions that the learning of the Sefer of this tzaddik is very powerful. So I have a letter, Baruch Hashem, from Reb Tzvi about the special kayach of this Sefer. I'm going to tell you a little Dvar Torah now from the Ben La'ashri, and we're going to perhaps add one nekuda. You know, at the end of Parshas Lech Lecha, it says, Vayechal ledaber itoy, God finished speaking to Abraham. Vayal Elohim me'al Abraham. And Elohim rose up from Abraham. So he says that Elohim refers to Hashem's midah of Derech HaTeva. HaTeva is Gematria Elohim. But when Avraham Avinu was mekayem in the mitzvah of Mila, Avraham Avinu elevated himself above and beyond Midas Hadin. So Vayal Elohim Eyal Avraham. Elohim rose up from on Avraham, and from now on, Hashem is only dealing with Avraham, but Midas Lamala Minateva. Until now, it was Midas Hateva, and Alpi Teva, Avraham couldn't have a child. But now that Avraham Avinu had the Mila, Vayal Elohim Eyal Avraham. However, according to our approach, we could add that now that Avraham Avinu perfected himself in the Midah Bitachain, he was, the Midas Hadin rose up from on Avraham. Now that Avraham Avinu had absolute bitachon, the Midas Hadin rose away from Avraham, and now Hashem is dealing with Avraham only with Midas Harachamim. Ayidei Avraham Avinu's absolute bitachon in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Midas Hadin rose up from on Avraham. Perhaps we could say then that the secret of Avraham Avinu being the height of 74 people, eating commensurate with 74 people, not just like the Vilna Gaon says that he was on the Madrega of the Shivim Zakenim, Moshe Aaron, and Nadav Avihu, but perhaps the number 74 is also connected to Avraham's completion in the Midah of Bitachain. Amram Avinu was 74 people tall, meaning Amram Avinu had scaled the absolute heights of Midas HaBitachon, which is associated with the number 74. Bitchu Bashem Adei Ad. And therefore he was 74 people tall. Amram Avinu reached the level of Shleimos in Bitachon. He ate, meaning his connection in Ruchnias to Hashem, his Hasagos in Ruchnias, was with the full capacity of Bitachon. And just to emphasize again, we've learned now two approaches of the significance of 318. Number one, one more than Yish. Yish is 317. Avraham Avinu overcame Yish, 318. Eliezer, how? When he realized Eleike Avi Be'ezri, that the God of his father is at his side. But moreover, how did Avraham Avinu reach the level? What empowered Avraham that he was able to overcome Yish? What empowered him was he took Avram, 243, he took Bitachain, 75, and that's 318. That with the conviction that our loving Father wants only complete kindness for us, and chesed, and rachamim, and that what seems to be Midas Hadin is at its core, the Oisiyos HaKoidmois, what preceded it, is the Midas HaRachamim. That if we're able to feel with conviction Hashem's love and Hashem's desire to do kindness to us, that will give us the inner strength to overcome hopelessness and helplessness. And just like this woman said to Reb Nachman, do you know who I am? My forefather had 318 men. That's something we all have to say to ourselves. This should be our common refrain. So when you wake up in the morning, you feel a little de-energized, you feel a little low, say to yourself, hey, Yetzirah, do you know who I am? Do you know my father had 318 slaves? He took with him Avram and Bitachain, and he was able to overcome helplessness. Don't tell me I can't do it. Don't tell me I won't feel good. Don't tell me this is impossible. Get lost, Yetzahara. Do you know who I am? My father had 318 slaves. That helped us have bitachain, and that helps us overcome yish. Like Reb Nachman of Bresel would say, yish is shaloi midas. Helplessness comes without thinking. That comes without thought. We need to always have in mind that our forefather took with him 318 men. And may Hashem always give us that inner strength to overcome all challenges. Thank you very much, everyone. Have a great day. And wishing everyone bracha v'atzlacha. Baruch tia. Baruch tia. Kol tov, everyone. Have a good one. Kol tov.
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.